Yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come unto me. Yes, Jesus loves me, and oh, how he loves me so. Yes, regardless of myself, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Most of the time, I think we pretty much look at God as someone who primarily helps us out of tough times, sad times, or sinking grief. Someone great and mighty who can do stuff for us. And we sort of ignore the eternal value getting to know who he is. We see him as the one who helps our immediate needs, but we have a difficult time recognizing his plans for our ultimate needs. Whether it is written on a sign at the Super Bowl or on a t-shirt walking down the street, in all the Bible, John 3:16 is one of those scriptures that believers and non-believers alike know and recognize. It's a scripture that seems to have stuck to the hearts and minds of everyone, even people who don't want it stuck there. God has glued it to mankind in general. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yeah, that's such a great summary of the entire gospel of God. It tells us of his love, it tells us of what that love did for us, and it tells us how we are able to receive that love. In an effort to put out there some idea of just what the Lord has done for us, I want to take us on a short trip thinking about what sin and death has stolen from us. From the fall of mankind in the garden unto today, what is God's plan of restoration? Now remember, this is just my adventurous theology here. So don't let it disturb you if it seems far-fetched to you or seems to have no scriptural foundation. And maybe it's just practical thinking and doesn't need facilitation to be true. But here goes. I believe in the beginning, before there was sin or death among humankind, everything in the garden of God communicated. There was no death. Adam knew the character of all the animals well enough that he named them with names unique to themselves, reflecting the nature of each one. I figure he must have had a God-sized vocabulary. Everything was alive. Everything was animated and responsive to the Lord, Adam and Eve, and each other. Rocks and trees could cry out in praise to the Lord with a voice exclusive and particular to each kind. I believe everything and everyone sang together in the garden. And what we know as the most prolific weeds today were, before sin, the most dazzling and aromatic flowers and shrubs, with each its own particular perfume, which reflected the magnificent character of God himself. For some flowers, when sin and death entered in, it didn't kill all the beauty, but cruelly. It left their beauty, but stole their aroma. Sin stole their beauty. Sin cut off communications among the trees of the field and mankind. Sin stole the song of our hearts, cut off our ability to see God, colors, smell the beauty of heaven, and hear the rhythm of God's heart. We lost our voice at the hands of death. Jesus loves us so much, he sent his Son to die and be raised from the dead to not only restore the beauty and song of heaven, like it was in the beginning, but to exceed the excellence of all which was previously beautiful in the garden. His love will make all things new, and they will be bigger and more than better in the end. Jesus loves us. He really wants us to know. His written word testifies it so. God is our home place where we belong, We have no strength, but he is ever enduring and strong. Oh, don't you know? Jesus loves you beyond the beyond of your wildest dreams. He really, really wants us to know that.